What's up, fam? You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wole, and I'm your host, the homie Ray Jeezy's out. You can also check us out at www.urbansportscene.com. That's www.urbansportscene.com. Hey, this is going to be a dope show. We're going to talk about this show's going to be based on the Washington Commanders draft. It's going to be my mock draft. I'm going to have a guest come on here and talk about my mock draft. But before we get into all that, let's get into the particulars. And subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and iHeartRadio. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Make sure you subscribe to the Urban Sports and YouTube channel. If you're watching this on YouTube right now, hit the red subscribe button and like this video. Hey, don't forget to tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. Hit us up on IG at Urban Sports Scene and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Also, join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates. All right, let's get into our tradition, the pregame. Here's what we have on tap. I'm going to put out my Commanders mock draft with Adam Aniba from the Burgundy and Gold Report. All right, I see my man Adam is in the building. So right now, I got Adam Aniba from the Burgundy and Gold Report on the show. What is good, Adam?
Hey, what's going on, man?
It's nothing much, man. It's an exciting time, man. We talking. The draft is like next week. It's exciting. Close.
Yeah, I know. It crept up, right?
Yes, this is like, isn't this like your favorite part of the year? You know, you're a scout and evaluator. This is like your time, right?
I wish I could drag it on another couple weeks because, like, you know, I really usually sit down, watch between, you know, 50 and 60 or so. And I try to get out hopefully around like 30 to 35 scouting reports. So that's always the goal. So it, like I said, it creeps up and, you know, life's crazy, takes up time. So, but yeah, it's my favorite time. It's just once it goes and it's like a little bit of slow time, that's the part I hate.
How much time does it take to go through and look at you basically cover it from a Washington point of view, but how much time does that take for you to kind of look and assess, okay, this is a good fit, that's a good fit?
A lot, because it's not like, okay, you watch the guys, like, okay, watch the five games, write on it. There's so many times I'll watch a game or two or just like, you know, maybe some clips here and I'm like, I'm done. You know, like there was definitely a couple edge rushes, you know, one guy in your mock, you know, that happened with, but otherwise, yeah, you know, it's five games. You know, I try to get the all 22 as much as possible. It's not easy because that's the best way. But, you know, I try to get just the full games. And again, that takes time. But I love it. You know, it's something that every year I think I latch on a different position. And this year, you know, obviously with Washington's needs, it's been offensive tackle. So I think very raw in evaluating the tackles. But I think after this draft, definitely come a long way with it considering how many I'm going to end up evaluating.
Oh no, I appreciate it, man, because I don't have that energy. I'm not gonna lie to you. I love football. I love college football. And like, I don't have that energy. I'm like, you know what? I know what? I should get the all 22. I should do all of this. And I was like, nah, it's okay. I don't have that time. Let me leave that to people like Adam. You know what I mean?
You gotta really like to do it when it's like when it's one of those things where when you're not doing it, you're missing it. So you know, like I'd like to write about the Commanders, don't get me wrong, but when I do the scouting reports, it's tunnel vision. The only connection to Washington is positions of need. But when I do my scouting reports, 2 years ago I changed it up, and the scouting reports are just a straight up scouting report, no talk about Washington. So you know, I enjoy that. And again, when that time ends, it's hard because it's just a lot of projection and stuff in the off season. But yeah, you know, to see any of the end players I end up right about end up at Washington, you know, over the years, you know, Sam Howell, you know, a couple guys, but it's been cool.
All right. I was going to say RIP Sam Howell, but he's still living. But we wish Sam Howell the best. We wish Sam Howell the best. But Adam, are you ready to go through my mock draft, my man?
Sure, let's do it, man.
All right, let's get right into it. All right, here we go. All right, this is my Wole's mock draft. Here we go. First round pick, Drake May. Second round pick, Tyler Guyton out of Oklahoma. Other second round pick, Kinsley Satamatia. I've been practicing that name. I think I'm close to it. We're from BYU, offensive tackle. This is one of my favorites, Jonah Ellis, defense end from Utah. One of my favorites, actually. Cam Hart. Third round pick Cam Hart, cornerback out of Notre Dame. Third rounder, Peyton Willis out of NC State. Fifth rounder, Javon Solomon, Troy, one of the best sackers out in the country. Fifth round, 152 pick, Will Shipley out of running back out of Clemson. And also, and finally, Jalen Carlisle's linebacker could be safety out of Missouri. So let me take this list to take this off. So out of that list, first off, let's start with the quarterback, Drake May. What are your thoughts? What does, first off, and because a lot of people go left and right with Drake May. So we'll go with the positive. For Drake May, what are some of your positives with Drake May?
Oh, I think, you know, he's what you can see the off-script impromptu throws, you know, again, that pick game when he ran to the left and then, you know, the guy grabbed his right arm, pushed it down. When the guy pushed his arm down, he switched arms and went ambidextrous on him and threw a touchdown. You know, it was a cool play to watch. It was, you know, you're not going to see too many of those kind of plays in the NFL. Just the way it developed, I think he gets killed on that play on the next level. But again, it's good to see. What I like is, you know, his anticipation. I like his, you know, the hero ball, though. That's concerning. And it's funny because I said the same thing with Sam Howell coming out. But it also can be like a real positive because he's got a gun. You know, he's got a good arm. Good accuracy. You know, I like what he does out of the pocket. But again, you know, when you dig deeper with him, he's not as experienced as some of the other guys. And I think if you're a team that has, you know, 3-4 years, I think to be patient, really develop him. I'm not saying he can't start right away.
But I
really think, you know, he's got some bad habits. You know, what I don't like to see is go from year to year. I want to see improvement. From 2022 to 23, granted, he lost a lot of weapons. I just saw the footwork get really sloppy. You know, the arm motion, you know, he's got great elasticity. But I started just seeing, you know, it just looked like labored, lazy, like he could throw lasers. But then there's just times I'm wondering, why didn't he do it on that play? You know, you know, we'll talk about other guys, but, you know, outside the hashes, I don't know if he can make every throw. I hear, you know, everyone is on both sides. If May is the guy in Washington, cool. I think he'll still be good with Kingsbury and what they got going.
Okay.
But I think that you have to be really patient with him. And my big concern is as Washington develops an offensive line, although he can run, don't get me wrong. You know, he's not JD5 as far as being able to escape pressure. And I think a lot of the things he did in college, you know, when you're playing in the ACC, you're not playing those SEC type defenses where they're coming, you know, a cloud zone. And next thing you know, it's an all out blitz or they're blitzing the corner. You know, he's going to see a lot of things he's not used to. And again, that takes time. He does come from an air raid based system. Again, Washington doesn't want to say Kingsbury doesn't want to call it an air raid. But again, that's a big positive because I think when it comes to terminology, verbiage, that's going to help him a lot. So, you know, those are some positives. But again, they're all going to have some positive and negatives. But I think with him, he's probably out of the top three guys. He's the most raw. And I think he's got the most to clean up. And again, it could go either way. But I don't think he's a bust. I think worst case scenario for the guy, you know, he's a decent NFL starter.
See, my man Paul said, after watching all his films, feet is just too inconsistent, needs to watch and learn. All right, so this is Mike. And we're going to go to – actually, before I get into that, tell me his negatives, his overall negatives. I know you talked a little bit about it.
Yeah, footwork.
Negatives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the footwork. And again, I kind of touched on it before. You know, some of those opportunities where he should have just thrown a laser that he could have thrown, you know, he kind of just floated it out there or he just held on to it too long. You know, he took a lot of unneeded sacks. Again, that's kind of a North Carolina thing. But he'll be coming to Washington. And again, this is, you know, no matter what Washington does with the offensive line in the draft, you know, I think there's a significant chance that Lucas ends up starting left tackle. And although I like him, you know, that's a spot starter guy. And I think you got to have a guy that can really be a lot more impromptu.
Yeah.
May, he's going to get a lot of shit thrown at him that he has not ever seen before. That's my opinion. And that is really, that's the number one thing when it comes to May. I'm not going to throw at you that many negatives. I said the hero ball, but some great quarterbacks, though, you know, Brett Favre was the best hero ball guy there is. Rodgers was another one. But I think with him, again, I say that level of competition can't be a big focus. What I've learned is quarterback, it has to, because out of all the positions, it's one against 11, you know, what you're doing out there. So I think what he's seen at North Carolina and what these guys, you know, what JD5 saw in the ACC, significant difference.
So I guess all right. So in terms of, so what the argument to say, all right, because we've seen JD5 and in a place where he didn't have as much talent in Arizona as Arizona State. So we switched. Right. I like to use this for any discussion. So I'd like to be fair. And it's, I'm with you. I would be happy with either quarterback. I'm at that point right now. Yeah, but they switched teams.
Yeah.
Who would struggle more?
May.
So you think May would struggle more, even with May working with less talent, just because we've seen the platform of
I think JD5's processing is just better right now, and that has to do with maturity. So again, you take the age factor away, May might get the nod, but I think the fact that I don't look at it as a negative that Daniels, you know, was at Arizona, LSU, and has played a lot of college ball. I think that's something fans are gonna have to get used to with the NIL and everything. Now guys are gonna be playing 4 or 5 years, not the 3 year guys. You still have those guys, you know, the money's in the NFL. But when these guys are making so much money, you know, we're going to see that more. So it's not a negative, especially, you know, with the quarterback position being protected more and more in the NFL. We're going to see quarterbacks playing into their mid-40s. I'm telling you, in the next 10 years, quarterbacks are going to be so protected, they're not going to be able to be touched. So I think it's a position that longevity is going to last more than any other position in football. So in saying that, I think you have a guy like JD5 being around Edwards, being around, you know, all the other guys that he's been around. I think he just has the opportunity to come in and really adapt better. And I think, you know, when it breaks down, you know, he escapes the pocket. Again, I think although May can run, I don't think he's going to be a lot to do this. You know, you can have those draws, things like that. But when he really has to escape pressure, I think he's going to struggle early on.
Interesting. So my thought process is, for me, just the body of work. I know, and everybody's different. So I've always said, well, my body works a little different. My thought process is a little different, just because I feel like one, it's easy. Like, for his footwork's going to be exposed more because the offensive line was bad. Like, it wasn't the offensive lines last year. So it's like, just like we saw, like you said, with Sam Howell with Washington, right? It's easy and complete. I'll put it this way. We could comparing Sam Howell and Washington to a Jalen Hurts. Like, Jalen doesn't have to see any pressure, so it's easy to say, like, he's staying strong in the pocket, but he never seen any pressure because that line's the best offensive line of football.
That's right.
Well, when you start to have – when you can't trust your O-line, then the feet start to become a problem. So I do feel like, and compared to where in LSU, that O-line was a lot better. Like,
definitely.
It's a lot better. So I do think that we – I know I get the footwork – conversation. I'm not knocking it. I get it.
All can be cleaned up. Line. Yeah. What I don't understand, like, we'll go on show, like me and Doug, you know, we'll do our show on Wednesdays. And, you know, we've had some great guests, you know, from all over the media, all over the country. And it's just so funny how far they separate. Like, you start talking about Drake May in the second round and the third round. Like, that's not what I think it's more of a reach to put McCarthy up there right now, because again, a lot of stuff you're doing is projecting with him because he was limited in what he ran in Michigan. You just have to look at the body of work. True. And again, with May, you just have to the reason the footwork's going to matter is because, again, like I said, when he has to escape pressure, things like that, great. He's tall, athletic, but he's going to start tripping over himself because these guys that are coming to the NFL are like nothing he's seen. And Daniels, we're going to see a lot of guys in the first round of guys that he went against. And, you know, like, you talk about guys like Jared Verse and all these other guys, I understand, you know, but like, he's taking those hits and getting up. So like, one thing I really wanted to dig into with Daniels is the sack numbers. And, you know, Kevin Sheehan has talked about it. Other shows have talked about it. You know, the sacks to pressures. Over a third of his sacks ended up in 4 yards or less lost. And they were out of bounds. They were runs out of bounds. They weren't even hits out of a third of his sacks. So what that showed is he understands that when the pressure breaks down, whatever, he just takes it. You know, he's not a guy that's just going to throw it up there and try to make a play when it's not there. So he's doing that. Also, what you'll never find in these YouTube highlights is him sliding. You couldn't find it with RG3 because he just simply didn't do it. But JD5 does it. So what I suggest to people who are on the fence is, try to find it. It's out there. There's tapes out there.
Yeah, it's out there.
Of all passes, of JD5, all passes, all slides, no runs. Take the runs out of the equation when you really look at them and just base it on that. And to me, it's the top three quarterback. So we know the top three guys. And honestly, Washington, if they could get any of them, I'm sure that what I have confidence in is the staff that they're putting together compared to staffs in the past, like Ron Rivera and all that. I think that they're going to really adjust their play calling and what they run compared to what quarterback they take. So I think with JD5, I think it would be smart to see a lot of that run action we did see with Kyle Shanahan sprinkled in there. You know, nothing as much as that, of course. And with May, you're going to see a lot of that, you know, like talking about the air raid, some of the concepts he ran when he's in Carolina. So, again, I think you can't go wrong either way. I just feel more confident with this offensive line. It's going to take a year or two, hopefully not more than that. And I think he's the one that could, you know, keep them more competitive. I think May is going to take a lot of punishment behind this developmental line right now.
I get that. I will say this though, in terms of like, because I've heard like, I guess my issue with not with just in general, when folks say, like May, you have to wait a little bit longer for May, like 3 years. I'm like this. I don't think this rebuild is going to be like in a year or two. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. I think it's going to be about 3 years.
It's true.
I feel like
they're going to get the leash.
Yeah. So I feel like not you, Adam. I'm talking about fans. When I hear that, that conversation we talk about Drake May, they're like, well, it's going to take us some time to get it right to be the quarterback for this team. I'm like, dude, we got a bunch of time.
Yeah,
we have time.
I'm worried about the shell shock factor. See, that's fair. Sam Howell made his mistakes, and again, I really liked what he had, but I do think, you know, it's reminiscent of Patrick Ramsey, you know, when he was here. There's just some of that there, and again, how mentally can they overcome it? Patrick Ramsey left and he couldn't. We'll see if Sam Howell can do it elsewhere, but I'm telling you, it's a major factor.
Yeah.
And again, the difference is with May is big dude, and he can sustain a lot of that punishment and he can get 2 yards. He can get out of it. But again, I think teams are going to really try to exploit that early on, knowing that he just didn't see much exotic stuff coming up. And again, it's a limited experience.
No, very, 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 very valid point. Very valid point. My man Paul said, did you have a wide receiver in your mind? Hey, Paul, I didn't actually. I'm not in love with like the wide. Like I'm like when Adam, like to me, when you draft your quarterback, all I care about is tackles. So I'm in tackles. So
they're definitely taking a wide receiver though.
Oh, they are. They are. They probably are. But I just don't really care about the wide receivers in the draft that are after where they're at. Like, I don't think they're going to be impact players, to be honest with you. But that's just me, though. So my second round pick, Tyler Guyton. Let's talk about Tyler Guyton. So what are your thoughts on Tyler Guyton at tackle? Is he a guy that could play right away? What do you think of him? First, what do you think of him overall? What is his comp? And also, is he a guy that they drafted? Would he be projected at left tackle? Could he be, or is he somebody that would go to right tackle first?
Well, you look at his teammate last year, Harrison, who was selected by Jacksonville last year. I believe it was in the first round, early second. I forgot, but that's who he compares to most right now. But again, what's crazy to me is you'll see a lot of discussion about moving him to guard. Dude is 6'8", 322. Okay, you don't see too many real successful guards at that size. And another misconception is people call him slow. Again, former basketball player, I don't understand. That's what I'm saying. I feel like people are saying things just to get a little more attention because I feel like, you know, same with the quarterbacks. You got to be valid. And I don't see that. He's not as quick, of course, as guys like Mims or Fuaga or any of them. But these are blue chip guys that I think are going to be real good. Right. I think Guyton has the ability to start. But the question is, do you want him at right tackle or left tackle? He's saw limited time at left tackle, but he actually even played H-back in high school. So, you know, he is athletic enough. He can move, you know, a 34-inch plus arms, you know, nimble, good bend, you know, functional strength, you know, displays a powerful punch. And what I like about him is, as far as pass pro, that's where he's ahead of the curve right now. And I think a lot of people get caught up about, you know, run blocking, pass blocking. I think it doesn't take as much, I think, to get proficient in the run blocking. I think your teammates help you a lot in that angle. Play scheme goes a lot. But a guy that can come in here and he's this technically sound in pass sets, that's a guy that if you're going to – and I say, I don't know how you're going to get him at this point. I think you have to get a trade up.
Trade up, yeah, bucks, I know.
25 to 30 to get him. I think if you sit there, your next guy, Kingsley, you know, or Morgan from Arizona, the more likely guys.
Okay.
But Guyton – I love his talent. I think that, you know, super athletic guy. I think he really has the opportunity to end up being one of the better tackles in the next 5+ years. But if you can get him at that spot, you don't have to trade up, man. That would probably be one of the picks of the draft for Washington.
My man Brian said, I'd take a wide receiver in the second round after we get our O-tackle. Would you? Would that be your second pick in the second round? Would it be a wide receiver? Would you go that route? Ignore my mock. Would you go that route?
I guess it depends. It depends who falls. You know, it depends. You know, you have a guy like, you know, the biggest ones that you've heard about are Franklin from Oregon and, you know, the kid from Florida State. Two big body guys. He ran the 4.64 and 6'4", and he's exactly the kind of guy Washington needs. So if he's available at pick, you know, 36-40, it's one of the few two guys I would say, other than, you know, unless the guys ahead of him, you know, end up slipping. But those are two guys that I would seriously consider, because that's exactly the complement Washington needs. Because if you wait a little longer, the third round, you got the other Florida State kid.
Was it Coleman?
And, you know, he's 6'6", but he's a possession guy, not quite as athletic. You know, I wrote about him early on the season. So, you know, there's a big drop off. So, again, it's all about who's going to slip to me. I think they are going to take one in the top 100, but how early, we're going to depend, like, how much value they get. And again, I think, because we're going to see a run on tackles. I think run on tackles,
I know,
corners and wide receivers in that first round. So there's going to be some guys that slip at other positions. So although as fans, we really want to see offensive tackle with that 36-40 pick, they could go another direction and, you know, hopefully develop a guy, you know, the second or third round pick.
All right, so Taj has a good question. Which position group do y'all think will drop in the second round?
I think tackle, just because there's going to be so many that are taken.
That's what I'm saying.
Six to eight going in the first round, and then another, you know, five to six going in the second round. That's tackles, you know. And we talk about inside guys too, you know, at least four to five guys going in the first, second round too. So I think that cupboard is going to be picked pretty clean by the third round. I think third, fourth round, you have more developmental guys, more right side guys, nobody that's going to be, you know, blind side protected. There's more right side guys that, you know, could possibly move inside if it doesn't work out. But I think for Washington, they didn't really go outside and free agency to really seal that up. So I think you have to select one with one of those first three or four picks.
I agree. Paul,
if they Paul don't, I'm going to seriously question the draft. And
me too.
You know, I understand it's a process, but to hope someone else, the thing is about left tackles is they don't come available. And if they come available, they're older, they're injury riddled. Those are the only guys you just don't see it happen out of all the positions, probably that and quarterback. There's the ones you don't see unless they've got issues. So this is the time you make an investment. And I talk about trading up in the first round. The other bonus of trading up in the first round is you get that fifth year option. So if you get a tackle that really blows up for you, you know, you have you have your quarterback and your left tackle coming up around the same time. That's not a big problem to have if it works out.
No, I think Paul agrees with you. Paul said I would trade back into the first round. I think that's the route. I feel like if you trade up in the first round, I would love for them to get Guyton. If it looks like Guyton isn't going to slip, because, you know, usually it's wild. Sometimes, like, a certain player just slips for some strange reason.
Well, he could slip.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
Because he was rated initially a second rounder, and then all of a sudden now he's gotten kind of rated up to be a first rounder.
It's because for a need for position, and then what we don't know is how the interview process goes. Like, you know, how high is his, you know, overall ability to lead? Because when you draft a left tackle, that's a guy that you also want, you know, to be a leader of your offensive line. So if you're quiet, you know, not really, you know, tough guy, that might not be somebody Washington wants. So
I definitely agree. So I'm gonna read off someone Paul mentioned in terms of wide receiver. Bud Means,
love him,
out of Pitt, said he's the guy to watch. Can you tell us about him real quick?
Yeah, no, not a big guy, you know, six foot, just over 200 pounds, but I love
him. Paul, you lost me then, Paul. If he's 6 foot, I don't need another one. See, Paul, I thought you were talking about a 6'4" dude. You're talking, see, I'm not already, but go ahead, Adam. I'm playing, go ahead.
Yeah, no, like, that's a guy, like, late round, you know, you're talking about to the 6th, 7th round again. If he was, you know, 6'2", 6'3", you know, I think we'd be talking to him more in that, you know, late 3rd, 4th round. But the size, it matters, you know. But, you know, him and a guy in Malachi Corley, another guy, Western Kentucky, that guy has really risen up a lot of draft boards. But Means, again, he's not going to blow you away, you know, good speed, very good speed, you know. But again, 6 foot, plays bigger. That's what I like about him. He's going to be more of that fourth receiver, move the chains guy. But I think in the 6th round, if you haven't addressed it, or, you know, you already have, and, you know, he could be on the top, on the cherry on the top of the cake. Cause I think that if you can have as a compliment, you know, it's all good. But I definitely would like to see them get some more size on the outside.
Cool. Me too. I would too. So I'm gonna go with my second round pick, just to speak about him, even though he may not be the pick anyway. But Kingsley Suamatia.
Yeah, no, he's
another guy. I'm hearing guard talk.
You just said the right
word. Okay.
They'll try him. I think he'll get tried at right tackle. I have heard left tackle. I'm just not sure about left tackle. I think that'll take more time. I think in year one, it would probably make sense to, you know, to try at least come try him inside. You know, you don't have to, not exclusively, but at, you know, right tackle and inside, that's where I would try him. But again, if you're trying to build offensive line, you know, these two guys at the top, you know, this is how you do it. Because I think that if you can really get a group together, you know, I think you have to have a focus come in the draft. And I really wouldn't be surprised, maybe not back to back, but I really wouldn't be surprised if they do this. But Kingsley, I love his mean streak. That's what I love about him. Too. The Samoans, man, I just love how they play. And he's another one, you know, originally, you know, an Oregon commit. So, you know, I really like his game. And I think that, you know, you get him at that point. Don't be surprised if someone pulls a trigger on the first round that they like him for what, you know, kind of, especially run, you know, with the run game. If you're trying to commit to the run game, what you're doing, we have no idea what Washington's doing. You know, if they want to go, I'm hearing a lot of stuff talking about gap, you know, counter stuff like that is what we can expect. And, you know, with some zone stuff sprinkled in. But again, you know, you can't go wrong with a tackle like him that you can move in. Again, if it doesn't work out, you definitely can move inside with him.
Yeah, I think Paul agrees. He said guard. Yeah, definitely. But I wouldn't mind if they tried him out at right tackle. I just don't like the it doesn't really matter to me. It doesn't matter in terms of quarterback, right? You're drafting quarterback with the second pick overall. I just think your job is to make life easy for that rookie quarterback, regardless.
Right, just, you can't solve all your starting positions right away. You know, guys like this, exactly like I said, you know, Guyton might not get the edge over Lucas, and you know, Kingsley, you know, would probably not play over Wiley right away. Yeah. So you, as fans, we're gonna have to understand that is a very likely scenario, and you know, and that's when I talk about, you know, getting the most athletic quarterback you can.
True, good point. All right. So this is my favorite, actually. My favorite out of my mock. Jonah Ellis, DN out of Utah. Your thoughts on Jonah?
Only watched a little of him. I'm going to try to get to more. But I'm running out of time here because I just did Booker, which is another edge rusher from Kansas. Okay. I'm a lot higher on him just from the early stuff I've seen because I like the fight in him. Ellis is definitely more of a traditional DN. And, yeah, you talk about in the third round, a position in need for Washington. Ellis, he's a guy in time that, he could definitely be a utility starter.
He's a guy that I like a guy who has a counter move. And he has a counter move. And I'm a big believer. I have a pattern. I'm a big believer of what you do in the combine. He didn't really partake in the combine, but they're good. He had a good individual workout. I'm a believer of what you do on Saturdays does matters. And to me, to be one, and he missed most of the end of the season last year. And he said he still had 12 sacks. I'm a believer in a guy who can just kind of, if you're a sack artist, it's the same reason why, you know, back then when Terrell Suggs kind of slipped in the draft, when folks thought he was going to be a top 10 pick, I think he slipped a little further down the draft. He was still a first rounder, but it's like he was one of the best sack artists in college football, and that means something. And I feel like with Jonah, similar, like it means something to kind of do that. You know, especially, you know, doing that on a Utah team that's known to have a good defense, like to be putting up those numbers, it means something. So he's a guy I think, like, whoever gets him, he's a guy who has a motor, a guy who has been consistent on Saturdays. I think whoever gets him, I'm hoping it's Washington. I think he'd be dynamic in a pass rush package.
Well, like, I think he'd play good with what Washington has already. I think that he would thrive for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Especially with Dan Quinn in that situation where you can see the creativity, right? Like kind of utilizing that skill set. So, yeah, I would love for Washington to get him in a third round. I know I've seen him in that area because I kind of engaged in where he could probably go late second, third rounder. But for you, like, what's a pass rusher that you are in love with that you watch and really observe?
More and more is Marshawn Nealon.
Okay.
You know, he's a guy at Western Kentucky. You know, I really like, you know, he's just, again, you talk about motor, you know, relentless motor, a guy I think you can start him right away. And that's the thing. When I say it like that, that's where there could be a team or two that sees, you know, that late part of the first round, even though he's got that second, you know, depending on who you talk to, you know, late second, early third. But he's a guy that out of all the pass rushers, I think, is on the big, has the biggest rise right now. And another guy I just wrote about, I mentioned Austin Booker from Kansas. Mm-hmm. He's in that late third round, but he's another guy, 6'4", 240, that's really rising. But again, people will talk about, is he a 3-4 outside linebacker? Because a lot of his reps were standing up. So you've got a lot of flavors in this draft when it comes to edge. You know, we talk about Robinson from Missouri.
Okay.
You know, he's a guy, we started the process. I watched him in, I think, December. And I had him where a lot of people did that second, third round range. But it shows you as the process goes on, more people just barring tape. You know, this is a guy talking about into the first round, you know, mostly played defensive line, defensive tackle, moved outside. Mm-hmm. Last year, got 8 sacks. So there's a lot of different flavors. You know, it's all Braswell from Alabama. There's a lot of different flavors, a lot of different types. So Washington, again, I say with receiver, I do think edge is another one because, you know, you brought Armstrong from Dallas, but everybody else is on 1-year contracts.
Exactly.
You know, Henry, he's on rookie contract. Jones is on rookie contract. I think Shaka Tony's odd man out. I don't think he ends up making the roster.
Yeah.
So it'll be, you know, so you don't have guys on long-term deals. And it's, again, it's the same with linebackers. That's why, you know, we'll talk about the other guy. You've got a lot of guys I wrote about, but I think a linebacker, you know, look, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised you see a linebacker in that top 100 as well, because they're not set at linebacker.
All right, so Taj said a statement. He said players are staying in college more. The draft is not as deep, making those second and third round picks valuable. Agreed? Yeah. You agree?
I definitely think so. You've got a lot of guys staying, but again, you've got a lot of, you know, fifth year guys coming out this year with top one projections. So it's crazy how it's working out.
Definitely, definitely, totally agree. All right, my next pick was actually my cornerback, Notre Dame. Cam Hart did a decent job against my man Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yep.
So that's his claim to fame. Your thoughts on the cornerback out of Notre Dame? What do you like about him?
Yeah, another guy I wrote about. I like the size. You know, 6'3", 202. You talk about Dan Quinn. What kind of cornerbacks that they're gonna, you know, look for? I definitely think they're gonna look for those big body, long arm guys. Because I've heard, you know, multiple times already about Quinn talking about press, about having a desire to be a more of a man-to-man team, press team, and I take him seriously. So these are the kind of corners you're going to look at, you know, 33-plus inch arms, you know, ability to be a field general. Lack of interceptions, though, only 2 career interceptions. Okay. So, you know, not in that ball hawk range, but that's where Hope and Forbes can be. So you got to have different guys that can play off each other. You know, this guy's the complete opposite with Forbes, you know, good height, but, you know, over 200 pounds. So, you know, definitely a good build. But, you know, 4-5 speed, mm-hmm. you know, again, average, can struggle at times when he's got to recover out of position. So that's why you're looking at a guy like this third, maybe early fourth. But I think based on the need, I think he ends up going somewhere, you know, in the late third round. Okay. But, you know, just like a lot of rookies, you know, run support is just OK. But this is a guy that you could, I think, definitely get ready to be eventually, you know, your third, fourth cornerback. And if everything goes right, he can be a number two, but not really number one guy, but, you know, good value at this point in the draft.
My man Paul said Cam Hart is a good pick. Should go higher. Great, great choice. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate you. I like him. So how do you think he compares to St. Juice? I guess that's my question.
I think St. Jude's a little more athletic. You know, the long limb, same kind of length, but I just think St. Jude's more athletic. But Cam Hart is more instinctive, in my opinion. He's smarter. I just see it. I see how he communicates out there. I think that's what Benjamin St. Jude's lacks. I think his communication skills, you know, are going to get him pushed out of this league eventually. I really think that he's going to struggle, and eventually I don't think he's going to be a starter for Washington. I think eventually he'll be out, and I think you're going to see guys in his class that are even the, you know, sixth round, fifth round, whatever, you know, fifth round, and I think that are going to end up, you know, pushing him for time, and slowly, you know, he's not going to be the one. But Cam Hart, I think the intelligence is going to help him a lot early on, but you will see some people talk about him as safety too. So this is a team that's not set at safety either. You've got a bunch of guys that are decent. So you don't know.
No, I like that. I like that thought process. All right, third rounder. I got Peyton Wilson out of NC State. Your thoughts on him?
Yeah, another guy I wrote about. He's him.
I like that. I got a lot of people you wrote about. I like
it. It happens every year. It happens every year with you and me.
And I didn't even talk to you about it. That's what's up. Go ahead.
you know, 6'4", good size. You know, if it wasn't for past injuries, you know, we'd be talking about top 25 pick. And that, and honestly, that could still happen because I think everything I heard is he really impressed during his combine. The medicals look good with the, you know, the knee. He had a shoulder and knee issues, but that was 2021. He played 22, 23, you know, great years. Coming back for that last year, 3 interceptions, 6 sacks, 2 fumble recoveries, 1 forced fumble, you know, 1 return touchdown, 138 tackles. Mm-hmm. Really good numbers. Man, he looks like a guy that's going to end up in Green Bay. I hate to say it Washington doesn't get him. But I think that ideally, if you can – I don't see him lasting that long at all. I think early second, mid second is where he's going to go. Maybe late first for a team like Green Bay. But I think Washington is probably the best situation he could go to if anywhere, because I think learning behind Bobby Wagner, you know, letting him get, you know, getting that body, because, you know, the lower body, you'll see it on him. You know, he's a little lanky down there, you know, upper body, good upper body, really good recovery speed. He ran as fast as a lot of people thought that are NC State fans. I thought he'd run in that 4.5 early, but they said if you watched every single game, you'd see he's chasing down, you know, track star running backs, receivers every play. So that speed is going to help him a lot on the next level. And I think he's a high level starter.
You don't think what happened to Dean from Georgia could happen to him?
I think he's better. All around, like if you talk about from bottom to top, how he is in coverage versus the run, you know, I think you can put him against tight ends. You know, he's got the kind of hips that can flip, that he can cover those guys. So, Dean, I like him. Don't get me wrong, but I'm not sure he's at that level as far as, you know, overall, you know, football IQ, situational awareness, and especially situational awareness. There's at least 3 times in the 5 games I watched Peyton Wilson where so many games that running back or receiver would have been gone. He's not always the guy, Darryl Green kind of like, you know, always chasing the guy down the field, you know. Like I said, he's always got his eye on the ball. Like when the ball's on the ground, he's one of the first ones there. It's just those kind of things that, to me, the only thing that could go wrong for him is if injuries start coming up again, if durability starts something. I think as far as his game goes, he's going to end up being the top linebacker in this draft and one of the top linebackers in the next couple of years. That's how good he is.
Oh, awesome. Okay, well, then he'll probably be stashed up earlier than I thought then, by far. by far. All right, so let's go with my 5th round pick. Defensive end out of Troy, Javon Solomon.
I'm going to have to shoot. Now we're not going to be agreeing much anymore, unfortunately.
That's okay.
Solomon, I think ideally, and again, it could be ideally because I've also heard whispers about, you know, having some 3-4 looks with Washington. So if they seriously do consider that, you can have Solomon as that stand-up outside guy, but that's where I project him. I think, you know, 3-4 outside linebacker, I think you can move him around. You can do some really good things. I like him. It's not that I don't like him at all. Yeah. I just wonder overall scheme fit, you know, 6 foot, just over 240, you know.
Yeah.
I evaluated Kamara from Muhammad Kamara.
I like him a lot.
And he's only 6'1", 250, but his build is a lot bigger than just Javon Solomon. That's why, you know, you think about Freeney, like that big body build, I think, you know, they can get away with it. I don't know if you could. Javon Solomon is more of a change-up guy, 3-4 outside guy. But again, you're talking about in the 5th round like this, they're football players. And one thing about him is he's a football player and he produced. You know, Troy, again, not the highest level, but if you just watch the tape on him, nonstop motor, he's going to make plays for you. But, you know, I think you got to lower your expectations as far as, you know, is he a future starter? I just don't see it. I think his best role is going to be a situational, you know, pass rusher.
Yeah, I guess that's my thing. In the 5th round, I'm looking at a situational pass rusher. And for
that's what you're looking at.
So that's what I'm looking for. So when I look at him, that's where I gauge him at, like just for a rotationary guy that can consistently get pressure. I guess because I'm watching, when we look at what Dan Quinn and his team, his unit did at Dallas, like they rotated some bodies out there. So that's how I look at it. I'm just looking at it like, okay, how can we rush the quarterback and get pressure? How can we utilize? Yeah, this team may not be a 3-4 running a 3-4 scheme, but we can be in different schemes where we can utilize a young man. It's the same thing of like we talk about Micah Parsons. No one thought that Micah Parsons was going to be this pass rusher.
That's
he would be all world, but we thought he'd be an all world line, like playing linebacker, playing like being that Mike linebacker, setting everything up. That's how we envision Micah Parsons being.
So we have no idea. Like you said, people that go in depth with Solomon, you know, he could be a guy. He could be a guy they envision that they can move around just like Parsons and do things like that. So again, Like I said, after 1 to 2 games, just so when I started seeing him against bigger tackles, I started envisioning on the next level him just getting washed out.
Of course,
that's why I'm with you. I think that if you're looking to get a guy in the first three rounds, that's too rich for him.
Yeah,
but if you can get him in this range, that's value for a guy the way he produced. I don't have the numbers, but he had a pretty high sack
total. Like 18 sacks.
You know, and that matters. That matters. To teams.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, we remember with Umanyora. But another short guy who was, you know, balling out, you know, I've heard people mention, you know, he's a small version of Umanyora as far as, you know, his style and stuff. But I like him. But fifth round, even though that we talk about later round, that's when I'm starting to look at, you know, some of the sweet spot. You know, if they don't go tight end, there's definitely going to be some tight ends in that range that
Let's talk about that too. Let's talk about that fifth round tight end. Like what tight end do you think they can get in the fifth round?
You know, I think that a guy that's really gone under the radar. I haven't heard really much people talk about is Dalen Holker out of Colorado State. You know, I think it was just over 600 yards, seven touchdowns. What I like about him is the yak. I like, you know, he's never going off for initial contact, you know, a decent inline blocker, you know, out in space, you know, he can improve there, but you know, you're looking for a decent inline blocker. You're doing a lot of 12 personnel. If you have a speed guy and him on the other side, I think it's ideal. And that's where I think you start getting to fifth round. He's about, I think, just under 6'6", so good size. That's a guy that I really like in that range. But it's really crazy because with the tight end after Bowers, it's a pretty big drop-off.
Yeah.
So I think you're going to see a bunch of tight ends that are going to go in, you know, the third or fourth tight end. You're going to be like, you were stunned. Like, we might see the guy out of Michigan, just like what Dallas did. They're like, whoa, it's early. That's what kind of tight end class this is.
Do you like Sanders out of Texas that everybody does there, that everybody's in love with?
You know, he was a 5-star recruit coming out of high school, and people thought he was going to be the best tight end in the nation. It just never came together. I've heard people in Texas talk about, you know, just the way they utilize him. They try to get him to block too much, and, you know, just know your player, know what he can do well. And, you know, inline blocking is just not his thing. So I guess the question is, if you draft him, you have to have a plan. You know, he's a guy that, you know, you can put in the slot, you can move around, but, he has limitations, and I just wonder why it's not all coming together. You know, some of these guys that are really great in high school, you know, just like physical freaks, they're just not asked to do much. You know, it's like, you know, you throw ball, get ball, you know. And I think in the modern day NFL, these guys need to know the route tree, and everything I've heard, you know, he's lacking. And some of the other tight ends, you know, my favorite tight end after Bowers is, you know, Sanat from Kansas State. This is a guy that got better every year, former walk-on to Kansas State. Played fullback, H-back, you know, is getting, you know, more nuance in the route tree when Kansas State asked him to do it. But Sanders, I think it's if he went to another school, like if he went to an Alabama or another one of his schools, I think he would have put up better numbers, because I think, you know, as far as, you know, receiving threat goes, we just haven't seen him utilized right. So he could be really good on the next level. And if you're talking about somehow he slips to, you know, that late third round pick, and Washington hasn't taken the tight end, they've addressed that tackle. Man, that'd be a great value pick, because I think, you know, you put him with Ertz, let him get. I think that would be a good combination.
I'm this is for Paul, and I told you, I agree with Paul on this one too. Yeah, free my man Cole Turner.
I gotta say this though, we were talking on the show with me and Doug today with one of our guests. Is this guy all out of Iowa, University of Iowa?
Yeah,
that's what we need. We got him in 30 for 30 visit. The only reason we're not talking about him is because he had an ACL injury. But the thing is, he came back from it this year and, you know, really looked good. So that's a guy that I think I even have him ahead of Sanders right now, because I think that's somebody that he's probably going to go in that early second round range. And really fall in love with him.
And Iowa has a good track record, too. They do have a good
offensive lineman and tight ends.
Tight ends.
I heard, you know, people comparing him to the guys that they have in the league now. So,
yeah.
You know, LaPorta and the other guys. Mm-hmm. And it's just basically what they asked him to do. So that's why they come on the next level. You know, they're ready to go as far as blockers, route running.
No, I think he'd be a real good one. But I do like free Cole Turner. I'm with you. I feel like, Paul, I'm with you on that one.
Free and Cole. And like, what if Armani Rogers just comes out and blows the doors off everyone in camp? And
that too. It's wild. I think that's the reason why, like, you know, a lot of people are in love with Sanders. Like, I've seen it everywhere, and I'm like, there are a lot of guys. there are guys, to your point, like you, like Amari Rodgers is one, right? I like Coach Turner, but I think those are guys I feel like let's give them the opportunity to learn under Zach Ertz. I think Zach Ertz has a lot to offer for this team. These are young guys that can learn under him.
Right.
They'll probably be better. And you may not have to waste the draft pick on a tight end. You can put that in somewhere else. And you already got young guys ready to learn from this guy. And who I think have similar skill sets to be like the modern tight end, modern productive tight end. So, which is different from a tight end they had last year. No knock on Logan, but Logan's to me is not the modern tight end. So just saying. So I feel like, that's why I'm not really enamored. I'm not really big on drafting the tight end. I get it though. Like I get it. Like I get why, but you know, and plus those young guys they're not Dan Quinn guys. That we know of right now. So
I think honestly, much as a tight end's important to me, I think they can get it in that, you know, the later part. I think a receiver is more important because I think, you know, Jahan Dotson, they need to get him in the slot. I think, you know, they're not going to do a lot of motion. If you talk to people about Kingsbury's offense, you're not going to see a ton of pre-snap motion and stuff like that. So you're going to want to see the guys on the outside and the inside. And I want to see Jahan Dotson inside. And you can actually do that with Terry too. But I want to see a legit, you know, outside guy that can really move the chains. You know, I think they're going to address it.
Do you think they get that in the draft or maybe the second? I call it the second run of free agency.
The draft.
I think there's somebody capable of doing that.
There's going to be some guys that come available though. There's definitely going to be some guys that come available. But I don't think it's going to be, you know, for what they're looking for. I think it's going to be more what they already have. Going to come available, but tight end, that's definitely one. Tight end is one that I can see in the next wave, a guy that they could get that could be, you know, a starter.
I see that too. I can definitely see that. All right, so my fifth round pick, running back Will Shipley out of Clemson.
Yeah, no, I don't see them taking a running back just after the what they have. And again, that's also saying that they really are sold on what Rodriguez can do. And I think that it's just such a limited sample size. I don't think that they're going to have the luxury to really totally pass on a running back. You know, if it's not the fifth, that seventh round pick to me is the sweet spot. So that's what I was going to say. I have no problem with the Will Shipley pick, but I would, you know, reverse that maybe later with some of the other
later
guys.
Later on.
But Shipley, he's the change up. He's the change up, you know, that they have, you know, what they're looking for in Eckler. Eckler, I think you're going to see him a lot more as a pass catching back than, you know, grind it through. But Shipley can do both, you know, really underrated. I think that he's going to slip just based on, you know, the depth and talent in the draft. And I think he's going to be a really good change up for somebody. So if they can get that, you know, with that fifth round, but again, to me, it's a little rich, but I see what you're doing here and I like it. So,
yeah. Only reason, cause I think I agree with you with Eckler. I do agree with you. Totally agree with you. It's just that the Eckler tends to get hurt.
That's what I was just going to say.
Yeah.
You know, that you're going to get, you know, over 14, 15 games. And again, I'm not, he's a physical freak if you look at him.
Yeah.
But that's not going to stop you from, you know, getting injured. But it's also going to be, you know, how they're going to use Robinson, how they planning to do all that. But yeah, they're going to get some guy at some point.
Yeah. And my last one was more just like, all right, I'm all about building defenses and versatility. And Jalen Carlisle's out of Missouri. It looked like he's going to be moved to a linebacker, but he played safety in Missouri.
Yeah. And you know, these guys, you're looking for, you know, kick coverage guys, stuff like this. And, you know, with the new kicking rules, with the way it's going to be changing, you know, they're going to be looking for more of those athletic types, not just returners now, you know, just, you know, guys that are just playing all around special teams now. So they're going to be looking for more of those hybrid breeds. So this is the point of the draft exactly that, you know, we saw Washington, you know, I think the guy, I forgot his name, I'm blanking. If it's Pierce, forgot his name. Tampa Bay, the former runner, the linebacker they got, I'm blanking what his name is.
Oh, the Washington guy? I know you're talking about, I just can't think of his name.
And I think that's the kind of, you know, this is the point you're looking at a guy like, you know, Jalen Carlisle's with that. But these are guys that are, you know, fringe, you know, probably practice squad guys at this point.
Honestly,
I know it's not going to happen. But 222, just because, you know, quarterbacks can, you know, choose where they can go on unrestricted free agent. This is where I'd like to see, you know, wouldn't be surprised to see one of these, you know, better name, higher name quarterbacks slip to them. And, you know, that'd be a good place to just stash them on the practice squad, because I'd like to see that.
You said better name quarterbacks?
like
give me an example. Like, I'm good. Give me an example. I like because we had this Griffin, you know, this Griffin Kirk Cousins thing. I just want to make sure. You said later on, like in the seventh round.
Yeah.
No, that's different.
I want to give you a name. There's a couple names. There's this. I'm just, again, this time of the day, you know what I'm dealing with. My brain
is all over the place. No, I got you.
But you know, when you're talking later,
we're a real life podcast. So we look. I'm looking online too, bro. This is not. We're not make believe here.
Yeah, you know, because it's again, when I'm talking to you, I'm seeing the guys that I wrote about.
Yeah,
and my brain is thinking about the guys that I've already watched. And I'm getting ready to write about.
Yeah.
But you know, Joe Milton, Tennessee. You know,
okay,
he's one. Yeah. That, like, I think that he's going to go earlier just because everybody needs a quarterback. Yeah. But again, he's got a lot of development to go.
A lot of development.
Devin Leary, Kentucky, you know, pro style offense. You know, he's another one that I think that he could actually be really good. You know, Kendon Slovis, BYU, you know, transfer guy, a lot of experience. You know, Brennan Armstrong, former Virginia guy, you know, went to NC State. These are more of that undrafted free agent level.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you get them in the seventh round, you've got them under contract. And I think that, you know, depending what you're going to do, there is new rules as far as third year quarterbacks and how, you know, where you can keep them. So if it's just, it's Mariota, you know,
Thank you. Yes. It's Mariota. I'm with you.
I think that you can't just have some guy you hope 3-4 years, but I really think you have to look at somebody that you can say, you know, we're going to develop from for the next year or so, because Mariota, you know, again, he's on the way out, but I think that his connection with, you know, the Philadelphia coach you brought in, they think he can, you know, help. Yeah. Cool. But yeah,
we don't have Philadelphia's offensive line though.
There should not be if it's May, if it's Daniels, even if it's McCarthy, which is, I don't think so. I don't think that there's going to be any misunderstanding that there's a
who's camp the competition.
They'll say all the right things, but Mariota is not going to challenge. And I don't think that they are going to keep three quarterbacks on the roster. I really don't. I think that they'll be able to keep guys on the practice squad. And, you know, the seventh round range, undrafted free agent, it's a good opportunity to do it. I think the good teams do it, and I think they will. I really think they will.
Yeah, so Paul actually had a good question. He said, if Jalen Wright, that's a running back out of Tennessee, if he's available in the third round, would you get him?
Third round. Mm-hmm. I love him, but third round
for running back, I don't know.
That's too early
now. Nowadays, yeah.
If they do, you know, you definitely have a plan, because again, we can't kid ourselves that Washington has a great stable of running backs. You know, with Eckler, you know, older guy, Robinson, really like him.
I like Brian Robinson,
you know, he could just flatline this year. Like, all right, well, this is as good as he's going to be. He's a change up guy. Great. So you always have to be on the lookout for a guy. And he's a game changer. He's a game breaker. So third round, late third round pick. That's, you know, that compensatory pick they got.
Yeah.
That, I don't know. I really would consider it. I just don't think they will.
Yeah, I'm with that. I just think that. I feel like it'll get to a point where you take best available. I do think that if he's the best available, gets
especially
to a point.
Especially if I think as soon as they take their quarterback, and if hopefully their left tackle, that's when I think it's going to be.
Yeah, because really you're building around a young guy. That's
because
true.
They really put themselves in a good position with signing defensive ends, linebackers that you know, aren't immediate. And I think that they can go for best player available after those first two picks. And I think that's what good teams do. If you it might be a little too early, but I think that if you can get in that position, like you said, you're the third pick. You get a wide receiver, you know, that there's a lot of guys in that range that I think could come and be that would push Kwame Brown for sure. So, you know, you're talking about guys that, you know, most teams use three wide receivers in their base packages. So a starter that you can get in that range, in that second, third round range. Yeah. I think that there's going to be some guys that slip and it's going to work out for them.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. Their whole situation will be interesting. Cause I think a lot of flip players for Washington won't be there anymore. Like, I don't think Deami Brown's going to be there anymore.
I think out of all the teams.
I like Deami.
I think all the teams that we watched, it's the most unknown what kind of players are commanders.
Yeah, I know.
What's a commander? we have an idea with Quinn, you know, that the defensive mentality, but as far as offense, you know, you're bringing in Kingsbury, Anthony Lynn, like two opposite philosophies. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be fun. I think once Because I honestly, I know a lot of people are saying this, so I'm not breaking news here. I really think it's going to be Jaden Daniels. I really think it's gonna, because I think that, you know, tickets matter. And I think that you're going to get a lot more people that are going to come out for that show compared to May. And, you know, again, I think you'll be able to hide a lot of deficiencies with the offensive line early on with the guy with his kind of athleticism. But it's going to be fun.
So this is my question for you. Which, other than like the quarterback, I guess I could say tackle too. Yeah, say quarterback. Other than the quarterback, which player do you want to see Washington get the most? Other than the quarterback, other than Jaden Daniels, which player do you want to see Washington get the most? I mean, and I mean in second round and up. Obviously, this is saying that they've already drafted Jaden Daniels. Which, what would be your, like, oh, they got to get this player in the second round? Who would be that?
So second round again, and now I got Keon Coleman, Florida State. You know, the 4.6 40s was throwing everyone off, but forget that crap. Okay. Just watch what he does. You know, talking about nobody's knocking the ball out of his hands. He's got that man NFL frame. So, you know, he's someone, and, you know, again, not the prototypical outside guy, but if somehow Ladd McConkey from Georgia falls to that range, which, you know, he definitely could.
Yeah.
And I'll stick with the receivers, you know, Troy Franklin, you know, in Oregon, and a guy I really like, Xavier Leggett from South Carolina.
I like Leggett. Leggett's good.
And then,
like,
you know, Leggett. And then I think after this guy drops, you know, the Malachi Corley, Western Kentucky, they call him Baby Debo. I wrote about him too, you know, just 5'11", but man, he plays like a 6'5" guy. So I think when you get into that range, this offense needs to get better. And I think if you get a quarterback, offensive line is going to be so important, but so are skill, adding skill positions.
So for you, it would be like off. It would be, it looks like it'd be Jaden Daniels. I mean, so quarterback, wide receiver, that would be your
order. Quarterback, tackle, wide.
Also, you'll be quarterback, tackle, wide receiver. Okay. So you would do tackle first. You do tackle. Yeah. After, okay. You would do tackle first.
Because
okay.
I, again, just like, I think there's going to be a drop off of tackle, and I think there's going to be a drop off of wide receiver. Cornerback is important too. You know, TJ Tampa from Iowa State, he's going to be there. Another long limb corner, you know, that could come in. And I know they're going to be looking at corners. They're not going to be sold on what they have. They were one of the worst units in the NFL last year, and they've lost Fuller. So you throw that in, you know, they probably envision themselves as one of the worst defensive backfields in the NFL. So that's going to be another position that definitely has a drop off. But I think that from the guys, possession guys that they're looking for, you start to get into those smaller guys when you start to get into the middle, late third and farther. Talent, no doubt, but they start, you know, start to be not that, those big body possession guys. And I think that's definitely within the first three or four picks, I think they'll go wide receiver. I do.
Okay. Well, if they get a wide receiver, I wouldn't be mad at it. I just want a tall wide receiver. I won't lie.
Well, that's why I said, you know, I mentioned Keon Coleman, then his teammate, Johnny Wilson. You know, Johnny Wilson, you know, that late third round pick. A lot of people I know, they don't like him because they want to see more explosive guy, but he's 6'6".
They need something different, man. Because, I mean, Terry and Jahan are supposed to be guys who can pretty much.
Right. So you're not asking this guy to do that. You know, you want a red zone presence. You want a guy 50-50. You want to fade, you know, over the shoulders. That's what he can do. He can get you 600-700 yards a year, you know, 5-6 touchdowns in your, as your third or fourth option. So, you know, the Florida State duo, those are two guys I definitely get in that second, third round range that Washington should consider, because they need it. They have to do, you know, with an offensive line that's developing, need to add skill players.
Totally agree. Totally agree. Paul said Ryan Purcell from Florida.
Oh, he's awesome. I think Purcell's, he's going to go earlier than people think. I think he'll end up going. People have this third round range. I think somebody in the early second is going to commit to him. He's good. He's good.
Well, Adam, man, this has been dope, man. Appreciate you for being on, man. But before we end this show, how can folks catch your content? And also, how can they catch you on social media?
Yeah, you know, as always, the burgundyandgoldreport.com, put out my weekly scouting reports, you know, writing them all the way up until the draft. You know, I don't do all these mocks online. I'll do one, you know, one Washington 7-round mock before the draft starts. As always, you know, I'm with Doug McRae on Wednesday. We'll be doing these draft shows. Great guys we get from PFF, NFL Network, really good guests. You know, he's got Jim Nagy from Senior Bowl. That was really cool. Get these knowledgeable guys. So yeah, just catch me there. All my content's at theburgundyandgoldreport.com. My link tree is there with all my socials.
Yeah. I mean, they're knowledgeable guys, but you're in that knowledgeable guy prop group too. So you're
trying.
You are humbly
trying. More and more people end up doing this. The trend I'm seeing now, especially with the quarterbacks, is people shoot down other evaluations, but that's the first thing I learned 101 is that's what you don't do. It's always respecting, you know, different
set of eyes. Exactly. I appreciate that too,
you know, that's all I ask. I love that, you know, more people are doing this, but the arguments back and forth about who's bad, that's not how evaluating goes. If you're doing that, you're not, you know, you can't call yourself an evaluator because that's just not how we do it. But unfortunately, it's rampant this year.
Hey, people are so pressed to be right, man. That's the problem. Yeah. That's the problem. Well, Adam, man, thanks for being on, my man. Always great work, man. Always
thanks.
Great work. All right, take care, Adam. Have a good one, man. All right, man. Again, that was Adam Aniba from the Burgundy and Gold Report. Make sure you follow Adam on X. That's at the BNG report. That's at the BNG report. So follow Adam. Adam's a great follow, man. So insightful. He does his homework. And the thing that Adam stated is so true. You know, even, you know, scouts, whoever, or people who are coming up or evaluating talent, no one is going to be 100% correct. Everybody's gonna have a different opinion, but we just gotta respect each other's opinions. You know what I'm saying? Like, not go out there and say, oh, you're just wrong. Just say, you know what? I disagree. I think this player may be better than the next player. You know what I mean? So hopefully, man, yeah. Paul said, what Paul's name? Mystic games this year? I don't know, Paul. That's a good question. I'll probably go to a game. Maybe will I cover a game? I might try. That's a good question. I know Ray typically covers Mystic games, so I don't know if he's going to go back to do that. But, yeah, we'll talk some Mystics, though. I mean, you know, would have loved for them to draft Angel Reese. That would have been dope. But they didn't do it. So, all right. Before we about to wrap this show up. But before I wrap it up, let me get into particulars. Oh, hold on, my man Paul said, "Are you going?" All right, Paul. All right. I mean, the girl from UConn was the best player though. She's the best player. So they picked the right in terms of player. They picked the right player. So yeah, you are. You may see me, bro. You may see me, bro. Definitely, definitely. All right. So before we wrap this show up. Let's go into particulars. Hey, subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, follow us on X at Urban Sports Scene, IG at Urban Sports Scene, and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Make sure you subscribe to the Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel as well. If you're watching this on YouTube, hit the red subscribe button and like this video. Also, check out the Urban Sports Scene at www.urbansportsscene.com. Anyway, man, I appreciate my man Adam for being on. Appreciate all y'all for viewing. We almost reached 200 viewers today live. So I appreciate y'all. Y'all the real MVPs, man. You keep us going. Keep us thriving. Anyway, we appreciate y'all. Hopefully, the Commanders draft, whoever you want to draft. I mean, it doesn't matter, man. We all win as Commander fans, right? Anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces. We out, or I'm out. Peace.